Why are there other religions today on Where We Begin? Welcome back to Where We Begin, a podcast that answers some of the toughest objections to Christianity today. My name is Derek Caldwell. I'm your host. Once again, I'm joined by Alicia Wood, Lou Phillips, and Zandra Carroll. How is everyone doing today?
Great.
Doing fine. Fantastic.
Yeah. I like the energy you're bringing already.
Thank you.
This is going to be a lot of fun, I can tell.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let everyone know, too, that this season we mixed it up a little bit. So I did, I cheated and I gave them the questions beforehand to kind of look over. We have some, I think, this season that are going to be interesting and very personal and kind of emotional ones. And so we want to kind of take some time with those. So appreciate the work you've already put into these. But first, I want to talk about choices. So we are a country that loves choices and hates judging anyone's choices. And so one example of this, maybe you guys could talk a little bit about, there's been some research on like when you go into a like a grocery store today, if you were to say you needed peanut butter and you go to the peanut butter aisle, what do you find when you get there in an American grocery store?
18 different kinds.
18 different kinds. And a lot of anxiety about which one.
Yes.
And especially if you're concerned about your health, you got to worry about, oh, does this have hydrogenated? What kind of peanut butter do you guys like, by the way? Are you peanut butter?
Yeah, it's the ingredients are peanuts,
like
salt.
That's it.
Or peanuts, no salt.
You make your own peanut butter, don't you?
No, I buy like the Trader Joe's version,
The kind that
you look like somebody that would make their own peanut butter.
That's true.
There's like a Trader Joe's, don't they have like a soft serve peanut butter machine?
Is that where you get Whole Foods? Whole Foods has that. And those are really, really good. I mean, I will say though, I do cheat every once in a while and I have to get a little bit of Jif.
I'm addicted to that stuff. It's basically frosting. Like it's not really peanut butter, but it's so good.
I believe it's pronounced Gif.
Oh,
but I don't know if, but I heard that joke. I've made that joke before. I heard it last night on, or recently on Ted Lasso, which I started watching on Lou's recommendation.
We're all over
the
place.
Yeah. I'm a crunchy peanut butter guy.
Yeah.
Myself,
crunchy's good.
By the way, I do the all natural.
Good for you.
Palm oil.
Good. Oh,
great for orangutans apparently.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. What are we talking about?
Well,
that
we
is
know.
The question.
Or so animals. Why don't you get us
okay,
to the
okay, why don't
question?
We just get to the point. Well, anyway, so when it comes to, essentially the question is this, you know, why are there other religions? And the reason I bring up choice is because I think when we get into this conversation, we're going to see that it's not just a question of why are there other religions, but what do you do with these other religions?
Yeah.
And we are often accused of, as Christians, sort of having this exclusive faith, which is very against sort of the spirit of our culture, to have this one thing, there's only one way to God idea. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So Alicia, I'd like to start with you first. As we talk about sort of just in general, what are other religions? What would you say just to start us off? What are they? Where do they come from? And I'm sorry, this is...
we've only done the 20 of these or whatever, Derek.
I was losing it because I saw him tiptoeing. Up.
I saw that out of the corner of my eye and I knew if I look, I'm going to laugh again.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. So where was I?
So why are there
I
so
hope
many
they don't
religions?
Cut this part out.
Yeah,
this
we
is
can
great.
We can make some of it.
You okay, Phil?
Let's just wait for him to be back.
Here he comes. What's happening?
No, you're recognizing me. I'm trying to be quiet.
Oh, yeah. Sweet
shoes. You were very quiet.
It was the combination
was that were
of
not
the
quiet.
Slow walk and still hearing the squeak.
It was the squeak. It was the squeak that got me.
goodness. Okay, so how do I ask that? So Alicia, essentially, what are, to start off the conversation, what are other religions? Like, where did these come from? Before we talk about what you're even supposed to do with them as a Christian, or kind of our weird views on, you know, picking one, what are they?
Yeah, you know, I think there's probably two ways I can answer this. I can answer this from the Christian perspective, where I would say that I think, you know, we are all created to have a desire for something greater than us. But I think that's a little bit of cheating because I'm looking through the Christian worldview. So I guess I would just say, let me take a step back from the Christian worldview and just kind of do an observation. And I've yet to hear, and it may exist somewhere, but I've yet to hear of any remote tribe living in some kind of forest or remote part of the world that is atheistic. In other words, they have some sense of spirituality, of worshiping the tree god, the sun god, ancestors, maybe elevating a certain chief or things like that. You look back into ancient Egyptian mythology and Greek mythology, and you got all these different things where there are these god-like figures. Like, it seems like it's very natural for humans to worship something. And I think, so from the Christian perspective, as I look at that through the Christian perspective, I say, well, that makes sense because I believe we are designed as beings who we're actually supposed to be worshiping something. And so I think, why are there so many religions? I think number one, because it seems like it's a very natural human attribute or characteristic to long for something bigger and greater. So in that sense, I actually think atheism is a learned behavior. I actually don't think it's a natural state of being. Mm. It's kind of the way, it's just based on my own observations. I don't have any data to back that up, but just as I observe things. But I think, secondly, I think we all have these same questions, right? We have all these same questions about when somebody dies, like what happens to them? Will we get to see them again? I think all of us as humans hate saying goodbye at death, and we want there to be something more. Or we look and wonder, how do we get here? Who made this big bright light that shines during the day? And, you know, and I think we ask these questions as humans and try and we're looking for answers. And I think so often we land on this thing that there's got to be something bigger and greater than us. That has caused these things that are bigger and greater than us. And so I think that's why we have so many religions, is just because we as humans ask a lot of questions. I heard somebody say once, you know, animals and humans are pretty close in a lot of aspects, but humans are the ones who ask why. And this idea of like we are interested in knowing and understanding, not just doing, but understanding the inner workings. And I think some of that plays into why, you know, there are so many belief systems, why it seems so natural for us to look for something more.
Hmm. I mean, you started the question with Alicia. I don't know if you're going to ask us another question. Do you want us to keep going with that?
This is the part where you're free to, if you want to say things, you can.
I mean, I don't know if I can actually answer how each one has come about. What I would say is that this doesn't surprise me in light of, if there's any truth to any religion, the idea that there would be counterfeits would also make a lot of sense to me, because every time there's an authentic of one thing, there's always versions of it in other ways. And I think the most superficial understanding of religion is it's answers to life's biggest questions, right? It's the way you frame your understanding of reality in so many ways. And I don't actually think it has to end in a deity or anything like that. I think there's actually, we hold strong religious beliefs that are not in the category of what we define as religion anymore. But I understand why it can be problematic for some, because like, man, if there really is one, surely God would have designed this better so that there wouldn't be all, like say Christianity is true. Why wouldn't have God made it far more clear? Why are there all these other religions? But I think there's so many more answers to why it actually is that. Even if we believe in the Christian worldview of believing that there's actually an enemy of our souls that disguises himself as an angel of light. There is absolutely an enemy that's trying to pervert. And it's not often, he can't make things. He just takes things and perverts them. And so to me, it's not surprising at all that there would be a variety of religions all trying to go after God. And then again, then you have Romans 1 that literally talks about God saying, look, you know I'm here, like flat out. Mm-hmm. I am very clear just by creation alone. You're going to know I'm behind all this in my majestic power. You're the one stifling in your heart whether you believe in me or not. So like, yeah, I don't know. That's where I like begin with the conversation of that.
So do we think that sort then the reason why there are so many varieties then? I mean, we could say at one level, oh, they're rejecting God, but or the true God. But are we actually sort of saying that in some instances it may just be people who had that sort of Romans 1 understanding? They knew there was a creator and then didn't get any more information than that. Mm-hmm. So they sort of made it up. Or is there something like, I know, Xander, you've talked about, I don't know if you're going to go there, but you've talked about like territorial spirits and things before, like this idea that actually there have been agents actually trying to pervert the truth. And so you do get this mixture, like the serpent in the garden. There's a little truth mixed with enough untruth to lead to sort of grave consequences. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do we think that sort of this plethora of religions that exists, where did it go wrong?
Well, I think you make a really good point that there's sort of two really strong forces in action here. And Lou rightly mentioned that there is another side, that there are evil forces that try to capitalize on this longing that's in every human heart. And that longing was placed there by the creator in order to spur people on to find him. So in one sense, we can look at all the religions and say, okay, well, this is actually evidence that there is a God who created us with this, you know, as Augustine's, if Augustine was trying to explain this, he might say, your heart is restless because God made it for himself, and it's going to continue to be restless until it finds its rest in him. Mm-hmm. So there's this restlessness, even among people who find what we would call a false religion. They might find something and there might be a sense of belonging, but there's still that restlessness. And actually Zephaniah talks about that. It says that the true God makes all the other gods of the earth famished. Mm-hmm. And I love that because it's like they can't actually provide what we are longing for, what we are hungering for. I mean, you've got that on one side. And then on the other side, you've got, you know, Paul, who can speak to the Athenians and say, okay, you've got this. It was in Athens, right? The altar to an unknown God. Mm-hmm. And he made a great opportunity of that and said, I know who it is. It's the one true God. Yeah. And here's who he is. And actually, he says something really beautiful in that passage in Acts 17 that I think would be applicable to us. Let's see.
I love Acts 17.
Yeah. So he's at the Areopagus at this point. And he's explained to them about this altar to an unknown God. And he says, God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us. So I find that really comforting and really encouraging. And I think we're so quick to see someone who's, like you put it really well, Derek, you're like, they have part of the story, but not the whole story. We're so quick to look at someone like that and just condemn them rather than take Paul's approach of saying, okay, let's start from this starting point that you're at and work from there. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right to say there's both, and it's very complicated, and it's probably what actually is happening inside of the human heart with regards to all of this is probably way above our understanding.
Yeah, there is a kind of an epistemic limitation on what we can actually sort of do there. But I know that that's kind of an example of, Lisa, you've talked a lot about the Ethiopian eunuch. Mm-hmm. And this, it is that idea of God has been, because I like that, God has been sort of always present and approaching. And then at certain times you see certain people, even they might have those barriers of, my land is not the land of Israel. We're not getting all the story, but he had somehow gotten some of the Jewish scriptures and made his way to Israel to sort of
to worship,
figure this out and see what was going on. He meets Philip, and the rest is history. That's fascinating.
And I think when you look throughout history, it's not like the idea of believing in religion isn't odd, or believing in something bigger or gods. Like, none of it is odd. What's odd is that you'd believe in one versus many. Mm-hmm. That's what's odd.
Mm-hmm. It's always been odd. Yeah. Even today exactly. And then. Yeah.
Yes. You know, like, you got pluralistic belief systems where there's millions of gods. You got, you know, Greeks and Egyptians, all these different gods. Humans, man becomes God in these belief systems. You got henotheism where there's many gods, but you only worship one. And so you got those kind of things. And then you've got Christianity, which not only says there's one God, but then it says God becomes man. It's like the reverse of things. And so the idea of there being some religions is, a religion at all is almost a norm for all of human civilization. It's just that you would narrow it down to one being the only way, or Jesus being the way. That's what's appalling. And that's even what Paul was, you know, this is what was happening even in Acts 17. Paul said, okay, you have all these other gods. He didn't knock down those other gods. He just said, let me tell you about this one. And then he goes on to talk about how this one is the creator of everything and he's above everything and singles him out as unique. Mm-hmm. And that was revolutionary. So I just think that that's something when we ask this question about why there's so many religions, it's like, well, this is how human civilizations really have functioned for thousands of years.
Yeah, and it's fascinating too. You guys have probably heard, you know, Richard Dawkins will sometimes talk about this because they're sort of in this weird place where they have to say that the mind created through the evolutionary process is trustworthy. It's not a random machine put together. It's trustworthy. It's leading you to find there's a reward in finding the truth. So, you know, you have a true, like, if you don't think water, that you don't need water, then you'll die. If you do think you need it and you do realize that water, that sound means there's water close, then you'll survive. So through fighting for survival, you find out the truth, right? Whereas Christians have argued otherwise, that this thing sort of put together randomly just for survival, it's not necessarily random, but just for survival, would not be a trustworthy computer or whatever. But then you have the issue where there is what some, like Calvin, called the sensus divinitatis. There is this sense of the divine in every culture.
Yeah.
And so some have actually said, well, that's actually, and I think this is Dawkins' point, is that, well, that's at some point there was a virus that infected all of humanity, like COVID or something like that, that infected everyone. And that's why we have this sort of false belief of religion, which is sort of this very sort of materialistic view on what religion actually is. What would you say to someone who would bring that to you and say, well, actually, yes, we see it in all cultures, but all religions are basically the same thing in the end, which is false. It's just this false belief that somehow worked its way into an otherwise praiseworthy process, really.
I'd love to see the scientific data supporting that claim.
Yeah. That's.
I would love to see any evidence that shows that there was a virus. It sounds more like science fiction than science to me. It sounds just sort of conjured up. But if there's evidence for it, I'm willing to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like the burden of proof would have to be on the one making that claim.
Sure.
Which is like, okay, great claim. How? And what compels you to actually get to that? And then also, I don't know if this would actually back that up or not, the fact that all, like, I think it's so misleading to say the religions say the same thing, essentially, because that honestly says that person has done no comparative religion at all, comparison of these religions, because they're very, very different. Mm-hmm. There are some very small things that are similar in them, but in general, they are saying drastically different things. Yeah. And the idea that also would happen to me. It's just like, well, why isn't it all roughly the same thing if it was like just one big
viral variant?
Maybe that would be the argument. Yeah, there's these variants and each culture produces something else. But that also is fascinating too, if you talk about the culture influence, because this is another one, a little kudo to Christianity. I think Christianity is one of the most fascinating religions, even from, I mean, I am a Christian, so I can't say from a non-Christian's view, but like, Christianity somehow gets into cultures while remaining to keep the culture intact, yet informing the culture. But if you look at other religions, the culture comes alongside that worldview in such a unique way, where Christianity doesn't. It was started in Palestine, North Africa, moved to Europe. than over the major part of the it was the North America. Now the fastest growing church now is in the South, it's in South America and Africa. Like, it's just interesting that that's how it's grown mm-hmm. in the cultures, like what the church looks like in Africa looks very different than the US, and yet mm-hmm. the core truths are still there. And that is just, to me, it's very unique. And I think it speaks to its validity, but that's kind of random. Sorry.
No. I mean, that brings up an important thing that I wanted to talk about too anyway, because I think you did see in some sense that historically that's basically true. Most things were very regional, except Christianity seemed to spread. And then you have things like the New Age movement, which is this very sort of, I don't know exactly how Western it is, but definitely American. Mm-hmm. This idea that, again, it's about these choices, and you just want to, what's wrong with just taking out the bad parts of everything as defined by the culture at this very moment and sort of hobbling together the good things we like about it and just saying this is our religion and there's some spirit. I mean, in one sense, there is that. I mean, we're kind of getting into the truth in other religions that aren't as directly in Christianity. Can you claim those for Christ and just say, well, that's, there's all truth is God's truth, so that's just ours now and we'll take it? Or is that the way to do it? Or should Christians just sort of say, let's just take the good parts of all and we can, and that's kind of helpful because then we can leave behind the Old Testament, which is very difficult, and, we can unhitch mm-hmm. and all that sort of stuff. So, what do we do with those sort of views, which are very popular today?
Well, I think one of the things that makes Christianity so distinctive from other religions is it's based on a person, the person of Christ. There's a speaker who has said before, if you take Buddha out of a Buddhist, you'll still have Buddhism. If you take Muhammad out of a Muslim, you'll still have Islam. But if you take Jesus out of a Christian, if you take Christ out of a Christian, all you'll have is Ian, and he never helped anyone, which I always thought was funny. So it's a person, and that's why, it doesn't make sense to take hodgepodge out of someone that you know. This is a really personal example. We might cut it out. But there was this guy I was really interested in, and he wasn't so interested back in me, but he kind of was. And we had a conversation about it. And he finally said, if I could take your mind and your heart and put you into the body of a Brazilian woman, then I would want to date you. And yes.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
That was my reaction.
I'm surprised that didn't last. Right?
What a gentleman.
Right. Totally. But the point is this. I had a right to be offended and hurt by that, right? Yeah. Because I'm a person and I want someone to want me for who I am 100%. And when we say yes to Jesus, we're saying yes to a person, the person of Christ. And we love that story about how he saved the woman who was caught in adultery. But we don't love the part where he says, now go and sin no more. Mm-hmm. And we're always trying to take bits and pieces of him and who he was. But we would never do that or a parent or a child or a sibling. So why would we do it to him as a person? I guess that's one thought.
Yeah, that kind of makes me think too, that there is this sort of, I think in our culture, there is this idea that we really need to uphold sort of minorities and their stories and lift them up and give them a voice, which is absolutely true. We've seen the history of not doing that, of not valuing people who were minorities. And we've lived with, some of the terrible consequences of that. And so it's fascinating when you hear, I think, some of the same people make those claims about, let's just take the good parts and leave out the bad, because it is sort of rejecting minority religions' views and just saying, in essence, since we think we can pull them all together and mix and match, we really don't believe any of them have any value except for what they can do for us when we put them together in this thing. So we really don't want them. We don't respect them, like who you were just talking about. We just want to turn it into this perfect version of something But it is this sort of, you know, it, when we're talking a lot about decolonizing things yeah. today, it seems like that's a very sort of colonizing viewpoint to that's take towards religion.
So you take parts of their religion and not
yeah, because like, ultimately you're saying none of them are real, right. so we can do with them what we
yeah.
What
I don't know. If, I don't know if he coined this phrase. Maybe it's not exactly this, but I think I heard Esau Macaulay once said like intellectual colonialism or something like that, where it's like it's essentially like
it's a great term.
Enforcing the way you think about things on others. And
yeah,
but because this is extremely Western, because it's like, okay, fine. Let's just say we take a Christian from the United States and a Christian again, let's just say from India, and let's see which parts of the scripture I want to take out and they want to take out, and see if we come up with the same exact one. We probably won't, because there's an aspect of that's going to speak more highly to their culture than to mine. It just tells you how much really what we want is just our own. We still want to control it. Like, that's essentially what we're trying to do here. You want to know why we want to piecemeal different religions? Because we still want to be, we want to be God. We want to actually be the ones created. But that's actually the antithesis of what a religion is, if this is what we're going for. It's God himself creating a world, giving us order, knowing what it's supposed to be like. And yet we still want to be like, yeah, but I think I can do this better. And that's how I'm going to do it, because I'm going to craft all these world religions together. And I don't mean to diminish that. I understand why a lot of people would see that. It's like, there seems to be some problematic passages here, and why not just all of us? It seems like we're all pushing forward to this one understanding of actually people are inherently good. If we just all would get to a level of understanding that we'd be better off. Mm-hmm. But I just think that argument just doesn't work in the face of history. Like, look at where we're at today. Look at just even where we're at in the last week. Are we getting better as a species? Are we actually doing, I just don't think so. I think we're getting more creative in the ways that we think we're better, but like, we're still so flawed. We're still in such need of a savior. And I just don't think there's this idea that we're eventually going to get wise enough that we all have the answers yet, and we're just all going to agree. Yeah. It's no one thought what's currently going on in Ukraine is what's going to happen. Like, we're at the point in history where no one's interested in claiming more territory. The world's claimed for, right? We're no longer in this. And then look what's happening. Like, I just don't think we're getting better at this. And I don't think there's an argument to say we are, actually.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, I mean, it's like me saying to a biologist, well, I accept, you know, certain things you say about fish, but I reject everything you say about orangutans or something. You know, and they'd be looking at you like, what? I'm using the same kind of principles. Like, there are consistencies here. There are certain applications that you apply to one, you apply to the other. And it's like, and if I say to a biologist, I accept biology, I don't accept physics. It's like, they're going to look at me and say, Lisa, how do you know, like, what gives you the authority to say that these things are okay and these things aren't accurate when you're not even the specialist in the field? And so I think there's sense in which we want to do the picking of certain things. We then make ourselves the arbitrators of truth.
Yep.
I know what truth is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be able to call these certain things out. And I just think that that's a slippery slope for anything. And we wouldn't do that with mathematics. Well, I think 2 + 2 = 4, but I won't accept that 2 + 3 = 5. It's like, well, wait a minute. These kind of are one complete package or one complete thought here. Mm-hmm. The same mathematics that makes 2 + 2 = 4 is the same that makes 2 + 3 = 5. So you can't say, I'll accept this part of Jesus, but I won't accept this other. It's a complete package. And while there's things that we may not understand or that may not make sense to us, it doesn't mean that there isn't an answer that doesn't somehow fit. It just means that we may not know that answer yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of the danger, is we put ourselves in the place of quote unquote God to say, I'm actually have the ability to know the whole picture, to be all knowing, and to be able to decide that these particular things are incorrect and these particular things I can just reject. And I don't think we can do that as people, is put ourselves in the place of all knowing things that we can look at something that accurately or look at something that complete and make that accurate of an assessment.
Yeah. Well, as we're running out of time here, but I just want to close with, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I'd like to hear, just as we close, and we've been kind of talking about how foreign that is to hear today, the only way essentially to God, to salvation, is through him. Maybe you could help explain to people watching and listening how that's good news.
Well, I think it's good news because we tend to think that our reality is like we're just perusing through a candy shop and taking our time and picking and choosing what we like and what flavors and whatever. But the reality is we are in an airplane that's going down, and we have a couple of parachutes there, and we're picking one that we think is going to save us before we jump out of that plane. And I know that sounds really morbid, but it's good news because it's true and because it's real and because it works. And when you put him on, so to speak, when you take that, you are secure. And life is hard and it's terrifying. It's not a candy shop. Life is not a candy shop. People who've been in it long enough know that it isn't. It's good news because he wants to save, but you've got to choose him. He's the one who's going to work for you.
Yeah.
Can I add to say, like, I think the even why the person and work of Christ is this best news is because it actually doesn't have to do with what you've done.
Exactly.
Like, that's the scariest thing is actually why we want so many options is because we're so afraid that we didn't do it well enough.
Yeah.
And surely if there's as much options as choices that I want, then it'll work. Well, if there were 100 ways to God, I promise you we'd want 101. Like if there were a million, we'd want 1,000,001. It's not the amount of ways. It's we have a problem because we don't think we're ever going to be good enough if there is a God. The beauty of Christianity is like you never will be. And it's actually not about what you've done. It's about what he's done for you. And so this idea, and I've probably said this 8 times on our podcast, grace changes everything. Find me a worldview that actually applies grace and even the concept of grace in the way Christianity does. And that's what will fundamentally change why you believe Christianity or not. And I'd actually love to share, there's a quote by Tim Keller that I think is one of the most fascinating things when it comes to, it's kind of long, but he's describing why Jesus is so compelling and why he doesn't fit in the category of a founder of a religion just like everyone else or just like, here's what Christianity is or something like that. But what he says is, no one has ever yet discovered the words Jesus ought to have said. Nothing he does falls short. In fact, he is always surprising you and taking your breath away because he's better than you can imagine. Why? He says, they're the surprises of perfection. He combined virtues never seen together, tenderness without weakness, strength without harshness, humility without the slightest lack of confidence, holiness and an unbending convictions without the slightest lack of approachability, power without insensitivity, passion without prejudice, the harshest judgment on the self-satisfied, yet the most winsome kindness on the broken and the marginal, never inconsistent, never a false step, never a jarring note. If that's true of Christ, that's why Jesus is good news, because no one's done that. And if he actually is God, case closed.
Yeah, hey, sign me up. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks to Tim Keller and Tiny Tim Keller over here.
Tiny Tim.
I don't find that as
an
insult.
That's like when you called me Bonhoeffer's little boy.
Bonhoeffer's little boy.
I'll take it.
I'll take it. Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to offend me on that
Thank
one.
You. No. Thank you. Which essentially Christian means little Christs. So,
hey.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Fine.
Fine.
Fine. Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you guys for those great answers. I really appreciate it. And we hope you enjoyed this. Please rate, subscribe, share, like, and all of those good things. It helps us get the word out. And if you'd like your questions answered on the show, go ahead and email us at wherewebegin@lightengroup.org. And we'll see you next week. Take care.